All right. Well, last week, like I said earlier, we began a new message series. Of course, our big event last weekend was our Fit and Fun Fest last Sunday. It was an awesome time to get to know some of our neighbors, some of our friends in the community. Everyone I saw looked like they were having fun with the games, the horses, the food, the cars. We had a lot of opportunities to talk about wellness as well. Right here in this room, we had a lot of good informational material for folks about personal and community wellness. There were flu shots and even more. And so since we have this theme of wellness going, last week we started a new message series on wellness. And we're talking about wellness in many different areas of our lives. Physical, emotional, relational, intellectual, financial, and spiritual wellness. And perhaps to be a little bit more precise, as we're talking about wellness, what we're really focusing on is we are talking about the one spiritual problem that we all have that keeps us from truly living well. And as we do this, we're seeing that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is the answer to that problem. So this is what we talked about last week. We saw how we're all born with a natural inward bent. We're turned in on ourselves. And when we're turned in on ourselves in this way, we block others out. And when we're turned inward, we even turn away from God. When we're turned inward, we turn away from the people around us. When we're turned inward, we believe that we are free to pursue all of our own personal desires here in this secret place within us. And we called this condition, we had a special Latin phrase for it, homo incurvatus in se, which just means man turned in on himself. And when we're turned in on ourselves this way, we're not well. And you know, we can't just decide to turn ourselves out. We found this out last week too. It's not a matter of desires or willpower or discipline. In fact, our will is what's actually keeping us turned in this way. And so, in fact, we need to be rescued from ourselves. We need someone to come along and to turn us outward. We need someone to help us embrace our neighbors. We need someone to help us embrace our Lord. And our rescuer is Jesus. So today and for the next few weeks, we're going to look at how this turning in happens in some different areas of our lives. We're going to see how Jesus turns us outward in family relationships, in our lives of work, and even in other times. And today we're talking about a particularly modern problem that we have in America today. It's a problem that we probably all have. Maybe not every single one of us, but the majority of us, we've got this and we know it. Today we're talking about how we can be turned in toward technology. Technology. We're talking about how our computers and phones and tablets can all encourage us to turn in away from the people around us. So let me start with a story. Dean Obadiah is a comedian and a journalist who lives in New York City, and he tried an experiment one day. He tried to go a day without a cell phone, and I'll let you know how it works, how it worked. Here's how it went, in his words. Dean Obadiah says, "I thought, how hard could it be? I know that many of you, like myself, you're old enough to remember America BC, as in before cell phones. We made it through just fine. So off I went into the streets of New York City, sans a cell phone. At first, I felt liberated, like Neo in the Matrix after he takes the red pill, and he could finally begin to see the real world. Instead of texting or checking my email, I began to actually look at the people I was sharing the streets with. It truly resembled a movie set filled with extras from all walks of life. A beautiful woman walked past quickly while fixing her makeup. Asian tourists were busy snapping photos. A businessman looked busy talking on his phone. A group of Hasidic men were kibitzing while an Arab man sold falafel from a cart. It was truly exhilarating for about 14 or 15 minutes or so. After that, I began to worry, what if someone needs to reach me? What if there is an important message waiting for me? I soon began to feel phantom cell phone vibrations in the front left pocket of my jeans where my phone usually resides. My stress level started to escalate. I had to check my voicemail, but doing so would require me to engage in an activity I had not done for a long, long time. I would have to use a payphone. And while there's no short supply of payphones in the Big Apple, there's apparently no one charged with cleaning them. The payphones I saw looked and smelled like people had confused them for bathrooms. Despite the stench, I held my breath and made my call to retrieve my messages. How many did I have? Zero. While relieved, my anxiety over my unchecked emails now began to ratchet up. I needed to find an internet cafe. It sounds simple enough, but it's not. While establishments offering free Wi-Fi are everywhere, venues with actual computer terminals use are not. I began walking the streets asking people if they had seen an internet cafe, like I was searching for my lost dog. The responses ranged from no to odd looks, like I was a time traveler from the 1990s, to offers of stories on unrelated topics. While 14 blocks, two avenues, and 45 minutes later, I finally observed a sign outside a slightly rundown deli which said, Internet. And there I saw three computer terminals whose best days were clearly behind them, available for rent at the reasonable rate of $2 for 12 minutes. So what emails had I missed? Well, nothing pressing, to be honest. They all could have waited until I returned home. As my cell phone-less day continued, I began to wonder, would we actually talk to each other more if we weren't so attached to our gadgets? Would we be better people without our cell phones distracting us so often? Better spouses, better sons or daughters? But I also realized that without my cell phone, I felt unconnected to my friends, my business, and the world. I began to feel lonely in the most crowded city in America. Dino Badala. Well, I love this story because it so clearly shows our modern relationship with technology. And the truth is that for many of us, this relationship looks like a compulsion. That relationship even starts to look like an addiction. And now it's not a bad thing to use our technology as a tool to communicate, as a tool to be informed, as a tool to do work. But because our technology is everywhere today, because our phones and computers are with us constantly, they have a tremendous addictive potential in our lives. You know, we have the whole world waiting at our fingertips digitally, and that whole digital world gives us entertainment. It lets us communicate with our friends. That digital world just lets us escape from the here and now. So when we're waiting, these times, when we're waiting, when we're at church, even when we're with family, all these times that used to be our best times to look up and notice the people around us, now we feel the temptation to turn away from our friends and neighbors. Now we feel the temptation to turn inward on ourselves, holding our devices close. And like I said, on some level, we all wish we wouldn't do this. We're an awful lot like St. Paul, who confesses in our reading today, in verse 15, he confesses that, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And a few verses later, in verse 18, St. Paul identifies the source of his struggle, saying, For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Paul is confessing that he is a victim of this inward curve. Paul himself, the greatest missionary of the Christian church, cannot overcome his sinful nature. Paul himself cannot overcome his natural curved inwardness. And so he cries out in verse 24, saying, What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? And that's the cry of a man who knows he is not truly well. That's the cry of a man who knows that he has a compulsion to turn inward. And so we see that our compulsion to check our phones constantly, our compulsion to engage with digital worlds more so than the people right next to us, our compulsion is not new. It's not something like a new challenge we face just because of the technology that we have today. Our compulsion to turn inward goes back at least to St. Paul. He confesses this much. And in truth, we know it goes all the way back to the garden when Adam and Eve turned away from one another the very first time. And what all this means is that we need a deeper fix than just swearing off the cell phone for a day like Dino Badala did. We could all use a change of behavior, but before that, and even more importantly than that, we need a change of heart. We need to be rescued from our curved inwardness. Let's go back to our reading, verse 24, which we just read, but this time we'll keep going and read verse 25 too. St. Paul says, What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? And then he says, Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul is telling us that rescue has come. Jesus died and rose again to forgive you and to renew you. Jesus died and rose again to let you live as you were meant to live. And so it's Jesus who turns us outward from ourselves. It's Jesus who turns us outward to love and care for our neighbors. It's Jesus who turns us outward to love and care for our family and our friends. It's Jesus who turns us outward to know and to love our God. And so that now in Christ, we are new people. We're not perfect now. We still have the struggle within us, but we are new people. At the end of verse 25, St. Paul says that we in our minds, we are slaves now to God's law, that is to live rightly according to his will, but in our sinful nature, we are still slaves to the law of sin. We won't truly live well until that last day when Jesus comes back. But even so, now with the power of Christ in us, we can get started now. We can start doing our best to live as God has created us to live. We can start doing our best to turn outward to our friends, our families, and our neighbors. So how can we start to turn outward, to turn away from our devices and toward the other people in our lives? Well, I can say it's kind of like turning away from any compulsion, any addiction, which is to say that it's pretty straightforward, but very difficult. If I were to tell you to just turn the phone off or the tablet or the computer, I don't think you'd last very long with that, just like Dean Obadala found out. But here's a few thoughts. The first step in changing is admitting that there's a problem. The first step in changing is saying that you want to spend less time with a screen and more time with the people around you. The next thing you can do is find some accountability. That might be something to pursue as a family, you know, so that when you're together as a family, you can gently remind one another, not complain, not nag, but to gently remind one another that it's not time to be on the devices. A simple thing but effective to do is maybe put a basket by your door so that when you come home, you leave your phones in the basket, and I suppose if you want to use your phone while you're at home, then you go stand by the door. Do it that way. Parents, also, you know, your kids don't really need to have electronics to be good kids, or if they do have them, it's okay to put boundaries on those devices. Whether you're setting daily time limits or setting boundaries around certain times that are no electronics zones. But I will say this, that if you set boundaries for your kids, make sure you are living within those boundaries as well, because our kids know when we're hypocrites. So make sure you follow them as well. And, you know, these are just some ideas. Because really, to be honest, Scripture does not tell us how to break a cell phone addiction. It's not in there. Cell phones weren't around. But what Scripture does tell us is it teaches us the importance of connecting with one another. It teaches us the importance of turning outward and connecting with the people in our lives. So if you or your family struggle with putting down the devices, and it's affecting your family relationships, your relationships with your friends and neighbors, well, talk to me and we'll figure out something that works. Or if we can't do that, we'll find the help that it takes to help you put down the device and to reconnect with your family and your friends, the real people in your life. Because we've talked about this urge that we have to be on our devices as a compulsion. I even mentioned the A word a few times, an addiction. And so the next time you reach for your phone in the company of others, ask yourself, am I turning in right now and shutting out the people in my life? And know that what Jesus offers us here is really freedom. Freedom from the need to be constantly connected. Freedom to embrace our family and friends and the people who are closest to us. This is what Jesus gives. This is just one of the ways that living in Christ is living well. Amen. Hey, let's stand. And so, as we always do every week, we are going to confess what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. And as we do this today, we can think about that third article, the work of the Holy Spirit within us, renewing us, restoring us, sanctifying us. That's a big word, but it just means making us holy, making us the people that Christ wants us to be. That's what he's doing in our lives right now. And so we confess together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Go ahead and take a seat. We're going to continue now with our time of offering, and let me just say that if